Brady's in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair. He pays us a visit once a month, and that's the Executive Communications Director for the Better Business Bureau serving Connecticut, Howard Schwartz. Howard, good morning, and welcome to Brad and Dan. Happy New Year to you.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. And a belated Happy New Year to you as well. Hope things are going well.
Thank you. Well, it's got to be going better, Howard, because the weather's warming up. I got my utility bill yesterday, and it's the result of what was just a horrible cold snap. And apparently there's some utility scams out there.
That's correct. It's not something new. We saw this over the past few years, but there's been a little bit of morphing. The basic scam that we saw a few years ago involved people who were calling residents and threatening to turn off their electricity, saying that they owed money to the utility, and if that they didn't pay by an untraceable method, that their power would be cut off. That untraceable method typically is a cashier's check or gift cards or wire transfer. That is red flag number one for this year. Someone demanding a particular form of payment. So, of course, people will react with fear, and they would pay the money. And it's ransom, basically. But what we've got this year is we're hearing from Better Business Bureaus across the country is that people are also calling or going door-to-door offering supposedly a discount rate if you provide them with your account number or a copy of your bill. And Eversource said customers have received calls and home visits from individuals posing as Eversource representatives. Now, in some cases, they are Eversource contractors. And if that's the case, they'll provide some ID and work with you to pay the bill over the phone or the computer. Now, if you have any doubts about the veracity of their identification, call the utility, close the door, have them wait at your front door. Just make sure they are who they say they are to keep yourself safe. And if I can give the customer service number, if you feel that you're the victim of deceptive marketers or the victim of a related scam, Eversource would like folks to call them at 800-286-2000. And another thing we're hearing, actually, from the Better Business Bureau serving Northwest and Pacific says that there was someone who reported to them that their caller ID was spoofed to make it look like it came from Idaho Power's phone number.
Wow.
And therein lies the problem. It might say Eversource or the name of another utility on your telephone when they call. Doesn't mean it's them. And again, if they're bullying you or they want or are insisting on a certain type of payment, it's really something you should just walk away from.
Howard,
hang on. I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
I was going to ask you about these fake technicians. What is this all about? Supposedly of Microsoft or manufacturers calling to tell people they have to hop on their computer remotely because there's a problem with their computer. How do they get this information out to begin with? And is this happening a great deal?
It's been happening a tremendous amount to the point where the FBI was actually telling people, as we did, that if somebody calls up and pretends to be from Microsoft or from a manufacturer or a software developer, and they say there's something wrong with your computer, it's a scam. And this came out when there was something called ransomware, where your screen would be locked and there'd be a message that you had to call a number in order to pay money to get your files unscrambled again. But what we're talking about, Brad, is people who do get a call from someone saying they're from Microsoft. In fact, Microsoft says it gets more than 12,000 complaints of this sort worldwide every month. And for the folks who don't know about it, basically you get a call from one of those entities I just mentioned, and they say, we've noticed there's a problem with your computer. It's urgent. We have to fix it right away. Is there a way of any outside person, like a manufacturer, Microsoft, knowing about that? Absolutely not. They have no idea what you're doing on your computer, except for whatever personal information they're allowed to take. So if somebody calls you up wanting to hop on your computer, don't do it, because the thing that you hear most often is that they'll get in there, and if there isn't a problem, they will create a problem. They may drop in some software that'll monitor where you're going and what your passwords are. And to boot, you might get a a bill for that, quite an expensive bill. So if there's a problem with your computer, you bring it in to a proper service center, someone who knows what they're doing. And if someone calls and says there's a problem with your computer, hang up the phone. If you find, however, your computer is running slow and there are problems like that, bring it to a qualified dealer and
absolutely,
they can fix it for you. Just
That's
don't go
it.
For the bait if somebody calls
right.
you.
Right. By the way, would it be a good idea if they went on your website, the Better Business Bureau website, to see if a computer business, a computer repair business, has gotten that Better Business approval, that seal of approval?
Absolutely. You can come to our site at BBB.org and just enter the name of the company. And what we're finding out, though, is many of them, most of them, are actually based in India. So we are hoping that the authorities will cooperate with American authorities, as they have in the past, for example, in Jamaica, to shut these things down.
Wow. Okay, Howard, hold on to those thoughts. I know we have a traffic update, Brad. Okay, Howard is back in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair. Are there some 2018, as long as we're talking about the Better Business Bureau, Howard, are there any 2018 Better Business Bureau consumer resolutions?
There are, and I wanted to start off by finishing my answer before, and that was when you come to Better Business Bureau, what you should be looking for is, number one, to see if a company exists. Number two, if there are any consumer complaints, read them and find out how the company responded to them and if there's any sort of pattern of complaints and the business's responses that you might decide, I don't want to do business with these folks. So one of the top resolutions we should have for 2018, take the minute it takes to simply look up a company. So hardly a week goes by without us hearing about a new scam. And people think, how do we keep up with all of these? And it's actually easier than you may think. We have to understand what the swindlers want and how they get us to go for the bait. And the scammer's goal is always the same, but their methods are different and evolve. And in the final analysis, if we follow a few simple rules that we can give you here, we can protect ourselves from the vast majority of scams.
Howard, you know, in this day and age, it seems everything you got to cover so much territory. Is it getting worse instead of better? And where is the majority of these folks coming from? Are they a lot of them out of the country or most of them in the United States?
That's an interesting question. The first part is education. Is it working? And yes, it is. There are far fewer people reporting or falling for example, for the Internal Revenue Service scam. And we'll be having more information on that in the weeks ahead. So the educational part is working. Pardon me. When I started at Better Business Bureau 10 years ago, the same scams were catching people time after time after time. So we are making headway as far as that's concerned. And in terms of what countries are coming from, that's an interesting question, in as much as some of them are global criminal enterprises, and they could be anywhere in Europe or they could be in Asia, and they can be in the United States. And depending on the sophistication of the scam and the criminal organization, could also be imported by guys who know what they're doing here in the U.S. So it could be someone sitting in a store next to the coffee shop where you're having your coffee and bagel in the morning. Or it could be somewhere in Russia. We do, and I'm not picking on Russia or any other nation state, but we just don't know in terms of the sophistication of these scams. In a sense, consumers are low-hanging fruit because we don't take enough precautions in order to stop ourselves from becoming victims. And hopefully in 2018, we'll understand that, again, these few tips we're going to give this morning will protect us from the majority of scams. And I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, you know, Howard, it's interesting because you mentioned all these scams and you were talking about the telephone scam before. And it's amazing how many times we'll get a call from a telemarketer, and we still have a landline phone, and it comes up on our ID as either a local number, local area code, local exchange, or actually our name comes up on that phone.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think that's one of the problems. Getting a phone number or a printed out message, such as coming from Internal Revenue Service, is extremely simple, in as much as that information is taken from the computers that dial the telephone number. Caller ID is designed to work off of a tone from legitimate calls, and that will fill in that information in your caller ID. Well, changing that information as the calls are dialed, that simply takes that signal, it changes it, and it can look like it's coming from anywhere, including here. And what I do is when I get a call like that, I report it to the Do Not Call Registry, but I plug it into Google. And I find that often even a number 860 or 203 area codes is related to many other scams. And there are other scams that people are getting with area codes from outside the area where they live. And I think that this year, again, one of the most common red flags we should be looking for is any sort of demand for payment other than credit card or check. And if we're continuing for 2018, there is a global term for the most common scams that hit us, and those are the imposter scams. We gave the example before of someone pretending to be from the utility. And these are people who pretend they work for the government, like the IRS or Social Security or financial institutions, local police and charities, to name a few. Well, given the fact that you don't know who's on the other side of the phone, you can be sure you're being scammed if they're making threats, bullying you, or demanding money paid in that fashion.
Hey, Howard, how about think about a couple of years down the road when we're going to have to deal with the census? Think about the scams about that.
Oh.
Well, actually,
that'll be as hot as a July 4th firecracker.
Oh, my goodness. That's already happened because people are, and this is, again, it speaks to how well, how far we've come because people are very skeptical. Last time there was a census, and well, I'm sure by then there'll be all sorts of information available to us from the government. And again, it boils down to how much information do we certainly not give over the phone if someone pretends to be from the Census Bureau. But it's also a question of asking for identification at your front door and making sure that it is legitimate.
Wow. A lot of stuff going on. It really is amazing.
You got to watch.
Yeah.
You got to watch. What would you say, as the fellow who runs it all, the most important thing to look for? Is there one specific thing you should look for all the time?
Yes, there is. And once again, that somebody says, I can't take credit card information. I can take a check, in which case they'll use it to try and commit identity theft. But again, it's if someone claims, if somebody's asking for personal information, and no matter who they are, if you can be certain if it's personal information or credit card information, and you did not originate the call, you did not initiate it, it's a scam. And that demand for a certain type of payment, that is part of that red flag as well. And if you remember those, not to give the information over the phone, and if you don't do business at your front door, no matter how tantalizing the deal seems to be, then you've got yourself covered for, I would say, at least a good third of the scams.
There you go.
That's great.
Yeah, wild stuff. Well, before we let you go, one more area we want to cover about this toy maker that has settled with the FTC. What's that all about?
This is a scary one, and it goes back to the dangers or the unanswered problems of our wired world. And this involves a company called, it's a toy maker called VT Tech. And the Federal Trade Commission has taken VTech to court and its subsidiary amid charges from the Federal Trade Commission that the company violated the U.S. Children's Privacy Law, which is called COPPA, the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act. What they did was this company, VTech Electronics, was collecting personal information from children without providing direct notice and obtaining their parents' consent. And they failed to make take reasonable steps to secure the data they collected. So VTech will be paying $650,000 as part of the settlement.
Whoa.
And we can see to the future, as these connected toys become increasingly popular, it's more important than ever. Companies let parents know how their kids' data is being collected and used, and that they take reasonable steps to secure that data. And this is something that the regulators said, unfortunately, VTech fell short in both of these areas. And just to let you know, this involved an app, and I'm looking for it now. It's called Kid Connect. There was another one, Planet VTech. But the bottom line here is take a look at the packaging or the information on a website to make sure that an app that you download is something that's helpful. If it's a free version, you've got to read those terms and conditions. Nobody wants to do it, but you've got to. And that way we can protect our kids and ourselves better. And we believe that something for nothing is going to necessarily be as good as something that's paid. And that's just not the that's not the case. So parents, oversee downloading of apps or anything that involves a smart device connecting to hardware in the house or to a website through that mobile device.
Howard, thank you very, very much for all the information. You would never think there's this kind of information, but this is happening all the time.
It is, and with the help of you and Dan and all the time that you enable us to take to warn your listeners on air and teach them, this is the way we're going to beat the scammers, and hopefully 2018 we'll have more happy stories mixed in, the good consumer stories as well as the bad ones.
All right. Howard, great job as always. Thanks so much.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a good day.
You too. Take care. Bye.